You are listening to Eastside Radio Podcast.
89.7 FM, Eastside Radio.
That was a song called Coffee, and it was sung by the 25-year-old Philippine-born British singer-songwriter Beatrice Christy Ilije Laus, and she's known professionally as Bia Badoobie. And talking about coffee, I wonder if you've had a coffee today. Coffee's far more than a morning ritual these days. It's become a global obsession steeped in craft and culture and chemistry as well. And at the heart of every great cup lies the humble coffee bean, a small seed with a complex journey behind it, from the altitude and the region where it's grown to the way it's roasted, ground, stored and brewed. Each stage plays a pretty critical role in the shaping of the final flavour. And whether you're a casual drinker or a devoted aficionado, understanding the nuances of coffee can enhance your appreciation and enjoyment of that wonderful drink. Everybody has at some time had a good coffee, and the thought occurred to me that we might all benefit from a chat with somebody who's actually has the knowledge of what makes a really, really good coffee. And before we get underway, I should mention that the coffee roaster, who is at 380 Botany Road, Alexandria, is a proud sponsor of Eastside Radio, and we value that association. We also value the knowledge that its owner, Dan Fitzsimmons, is happy to share with us, and Dan is on the phone with me right now. Dan, welcome to Monday Drive.
Well, thank you very much, Alan. It's a pleasure to be here.
Dan, you've had a coffee today, I expect.
A couple doubles, actually.
Double coffees? You mean two shots in one cup, yes?
Yeah, that's correct. A little water in the bottom of the cup and a double espresso on top.
That's getting to a technique that we're going to have to get into in a few moments. Before we do, though, Tell us the difference between single origin and blended coffee. What does it mean? We all see it, but we don't know what it is.
Well, blended coffee is made out of two or more single origin coffees. Single origins become more important nowadays because individual coffee connoisseurs want to understand the different tastes that different origins provide. So these tastes can vary for three main reasons. One is the weather conditions that are predominant in each different geographic area.
Yeah.
They can also be affected by the genetic rootstock of the coffee plant, which determines how the nutrients in the soil are converted into the cherry and subsequent flavor of the coffee bean. And finally, by the processing methods, the way the pulp and the skin is removed from the seeds and how that affects the resulting flavor.
It's becoming quite a technical art form, isn't it?
It really is. And these techniques are becoming more complicated and producing more complex and interesting flavors, and this is largely driven by competition. So in the first world, the cafes are all competing against one another, so they're looking for a better roasted product which will allow them to produce a unique beverage that captures additional custom from individuals away from the cafe down the road. Right. And of course, this all, for lack of a better term, percolates right back to the farm gate and the individual farmers that are growing 10 or 20 or 30 acres of trees are always looking over the fence and trying to figure out what the farmer next door is doing when they harvest their cherries and turn them into coffee beans. It's a very competitive environment.
And it's a very worthwhile pun you just made. I don't know whether you intended it, but that, was extremely good,
it
Dan.
Percolates, that's for sure. Yeah.
Dan, rather than getting into the intensity of that complication, just tell me, should I store my, and I'm talking coffee beans here, should I store my coffee in the freezer, in the fridge, on the shelf, or does it even matter?
Well, there's a professor, Juritsen, in Zurich, Switzerland, which is head of the chemical and analytical chemistry department. And he does, he spends 70% of his time researching various factors in relation to coffee, including the storage. And he's been quoted as saying that every 10 degrees you lower the storage temperature, your coffee doubles its lifespan.
Uh-huh.
So if you take your coffee, which is mostly at room temperature, say 20 degrees Celsius, and you put it in your freezer, which should be capable of cooling it down to minus 20, well, that should indicate that your coffee will last about eight times as long in the freezer.
Right, but if I put my coffee in the freezer in a brown bag versus a silver bag versus a glass jar versus, well, I can't think of anything else, but does that matter?
Yes, it does. It matters greatly. In fact, most people that are coffee aficionados, they have their favorite container that they put the coffee in. It could be a Gevalia jar from their great aunt from Sweden, or it could be a Folgers tin from an American junk store or whatever. And so as soon as they buy the coffee, they take it home, open the bag, and pour it into that container.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a very good way to store the coffee, because you cannot squeeze the air out of proximity to the coffee. And it's the oxygen in air that oxidizes the coffee and causes it to turn rancid. And there are also airborne organisms, the same type of organisms that create sourdough starter and these sorts of reactions. And they're located in the air as well. And when they arrive on the surface of the coffee bean, they start digesting the sugars and the oils and leaving their waste products behind. So you want to keep the air away from the coffee. And so you want to use ideally, the bag that the coffee is sold in is probably best, because it's made out of a barrier material. It doesn't allow any contaminants to enter the bag, number one. And number two, perhaps more importantly, is it's flexible, so that after you've opened it and poured some of the coffee into your grinder hopper, you can carefully squeeze out as much air as possible, zip it closed, and put it back in the freezer. And so it stays in suspended animation until you take it out again.
Right, so air is an enemy of good fresh coffee, and the freezer part is going to help preserve it for a longer period of time, right?
That's correct, because the oxidative reaction will slow down directly proportionally to the reduction in temperature. And also the airborne organisms, they won't be eliminated by freezing, but their metabolism will stop to the point where they don't continue to damage the coffee.
Right. I fear we have excluded from this conversation all those people who buy their coffee ground, even in vacuum packaged, you know, kind of cubes. So,
well, one thing. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
The roasting process of coffee creates a plethora of chemical changes. And one of the byproducts of these chemical changes is the production of carbon dioxide gas inside the bean. Now, that gas is trapped in the bean in two ways. It's trapped physically in the bean like gas in a canister. And it's also trapped, dissolved in vegetable oil in the coffee in much the same way that soda water has bubbles trapped in it. Now, This carbon dioxide gas is the enemy of a properly extracted espresso, because if you can imagine a Coke bottle, you take the lid off, you put your thumb over it, and you give it a shake, it's going to spew all over the place.
Yep.
Well, that's exactly what happens inside the portafilter when you have freshly roasted ground coffee packed in there, and then you push the brew button, and this hot water gets is sprayed all over the puck of coffee. So it excites the the carbon dioxide dramatically, and that carbon dioxide comes out and makes the crema look very rich and tasty. But within a matter of 30 to 45 seconds, all those excess carbon dioxide bubbles pop, and the crema takes on a hollow, unattractive appearance rather than a nice, smooth, dark, creamy look. And of course, those bubbles are, to some degree, present in the liquid espresso, and they interfere with your taste bud's ability to taste the coffee. So it's really important to let the coffee degas before you vacuum pack it. So if you're an Italian roaster and you're going to ship coffee in vacuum packs to Australia, you have to leave it set out in a room for several days to degas. And then once it's degassed, you can vacuum pack it. But if you vacuum packed it before it degassed, those uniform shapes would become distended by the carbon dioxide as it exited the beans. So vacuum packing in coffee is not very good at preservation because there's enough interstitial oxygen to continue the deterioration process.
So it is not your recommendation that ground coffee purchased in a brick form is the best coffee you can buy.
No, anytime you see it in a brick, you know it's been in the distribution chain for a long, long time. Now, there's nothing wrong with going to your local roaster that produces a freshly roasted coffee bean and asking him to grind a half a kilo for your plunger, because it depends on how fast you go through it. But if you go through that coffee in a week, you're not going to have any trouble with the staling interfering with the taste.
Should that coffee also be stored in the freezer?
Well, it will benefit by storing in the freezer, and it's very convenient to do that. You use your same flexible barrier bag, which protects the coffee. You squeeze the air out, you zip it closed, or roll it over and put a rubber band around it tightly, put it in the freezer, and it'll stay fresh. Now, the next morning when you want to make a cup of coffee, you just bring out that package, take off the rubber band or unzip it. You poke it a few times with a dessert spoon because it'll tend to clump up because there's moisture and vegetable oil in there. So it'll tend to clump up. But you just poke it a few times and spoon into your plunger or your AeroPress or whatever the appropriate dose of coffee. And you can measure this either with a scale or a physical measure like a measuring cup. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as you pour hot water on it, it's going to loosen up and brew just as well as if it never was inside a freezer.
Okay. If you went to a dinner party and you were served plunge coffee, would you ever go back?
Yeah, if it's properly made. Plunger coffee can be excellent. Can taste wonderful. Unfortunately, a lot of people think, well, plunger coffee can only be made one way. I need to be concerned about the amount of coffee I put in there, the weight of the coffee or whatever. I need to be concerned about the temperature of the water that I pour over. And then I need to be concerned about the steeping time. And they may read a recipe and think that that's the holy grail, and I always have to do it that way.
That's but right. Yeah.
There are many flavor modification techniques in making coffee, and one of them and there are several in the plunger. You can put in a little more or less coffee or a little less coffee, and that'll affect the flavor somewhat. Or you can put in hotter water, which is more solvent than cooler water. If you put in hotter water, you're going to get a more intense extraction. If you put in cooler water, you're going to get a less intense and a smoother extraction. And then finally, excuse me, the steeping time will determine how much time the hot water has to leach out the flavor from the roast ground coffee. So these are three ways you can alter the taste of the coffee through a plunger. And the reality is there's a lot of opinion in coffee, but the best coffee is the coffee you like the best. So that if you can alter the plunger in a way that you have superior satisfaction, then that's the best coffee for you.
What about the water you use? Is filtered water preferred? Again, I'm talking plunged coffee here. Or actually, I'm not. Well, plunged coffee as well as percolated coffee.
Any coffee benefits from filtered water. Just this last week, I think it might have been Saturday's Australian, I skimmed an article that was saying that we may have to start boiling our water because apparently there's some organism that is unable to be kept from the town water supply. And anybody that's been here for 10 or 15 years probably remembers the cryptosporidium outbreak that occurred. And so it's really water is a bureaucratic product, and we know the dangers of bureaucracy, all care and no responsibility. So I recommend that everybody use filtered water. We use reverse osmosis filtration at the roastery for all of our drinking water and all of our coffee making water. So it's the best way to go.
Right, and I hope you haven't terrorized all of my listeners by suggesting there might be something wrong with the water in Sydney. No, I'll leave that to some
another
other
healthy source of protein.
Yes, quite. Well, leave the terrorization to some other form of media, if you don't mind. I'm talking to Dan Fitzsimmons, who is the boss of the Coffee Roasters, who is here to tell us all about good coffee, and we have certainly learned a lot. What is the best temperature to have your coffee? And the reason I ask that is because whenever I go to a coffee place, I insist that it is a hot coffee, because I can't stand cold coffee. I mean, if I want an iced coffee, I'll have that. But what temperature should we have our coffee?
Well, You're not alone. Many people ask for make my coffee hot. So we've got a button on the point of sale that says extra hot, and we also have a button on the point of sale that says warm. And this really proves the truism that the best coffee is the coffee you like the best.
Yeah, now, good.
With regard to the temperature of the water, if you go back 20, 30, 40 years when espresso machines were just becoming a little more widespread, the best temperature for setting up the espresso machines was 92 degrees. But if you go back to my original comment where I said the hotter the water, the more solvent it is, and the cooler the water, the less solvent. Well, if you have an espresso machine that you can adjust the water temperature in the brew water boiler, then this means that you can find a coffee whose general profile you like. And if you then want to produce a beverage from that coffee with a little more intensity, you can raise your brew water temperature from 92 to 93, or some espresso bars use water at the temperature of 94. If, on the other hand, you like the overall flavor profile of the coffee, but you find it a little too intense, well, you can temper it a little bit by dropping from 92 to 91 or even 90. So I think
the answer I like best is the coffee that the temperature is the one at which you enjoy it best.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Two quickies for you, Dan. What's the story with decaffeinated coffee? Do I make that any differently from, well, first of all, do you endorse the concept of decaffeinated coffee, or is that just a contradiction in terms? And then also, how do you prepare it and store it?
Well, decaffeinated coffee drinkers get a bad rap.
Yep.
It's not uncommon to see somebody order a coffee in an espresso bar, and if you watch carefully, the expression on the barista's face conveys a little bit of disdain or sadness that these people are forced to drink decaf. But the decaffeination process has improved dramatically over the past decades. It used to be the best decaffeinated coffee was made with methylene chloride, and methylene chloride is the same chemical they use for dry cleaning clothes.
Fabulous.
Now it's technically really a good way to decaffeinate coffee, because it dissolves only the caffeine molecule and leaves everything else intact. So, but the concern is it's a chemical. It's not a healthy chemical. Does it become totally eradicated before it gets to the consumer? And all of these worries has meant that it's used in very limited scope, generally for soluble coffees and that sort of thing. And the new decaffeination processes use water, and they use water to leach out the flavor, the caffeine from the water, from the coffee, and then that water, as you might expect, it will leach out some of the flavor as well.
Yeah.
And then that water is run through a chelation filter. Chelation is Latin for claw, and it claws out the caffeine and allows the flavored water to continue its journey. And when all of the caffeine is eliminated from the beans, then that flavored water is reapplied to the beans in a vacuum environment. And as we might know, under a vacuum at room temperature, water will boil. And so the coffee bean dries out extremely quickly, and then they can efficiently replace those beans into the original Hessian tags, Hessian bags, and they sew in the top of the Hessian bag a tag which contains the lab results of that decaffeination process. Anybody buying that coffee knows how successful it was decaffeinated.
Okay.
And the decaf coffee we're getting today tastes very good. The flavor profile is consistent with the original profile. However, if you were to graph the original profile, it would be kind of a jagged line with mountains and valleys, whereas graphing the flavor profile of the decaffeinated coffee is more like curves, upward and downward curves, because all the sharp notes are knocked off, and it becomes a pleasant, smooth beverage.
Okay.
But it's not for everyone. Yeah.
Okay. And just finally, Dan, what is the difference between the coffee I buy from the major supermarket chains and the coffee I buy from the coffee roasters at Alexandria?
Well, the amount of time it's been on the shelf is the main difference, really. Competition is driving the improvement of coffee quality in almost all outlets. They recognize that if they have a foul-tasting coffee, it's just not going to sell. And so they focus on curating high-quality coffees, but unfortunately, they can't turn it over as quickly as we can. We roast coffee 7 days a week, and if you come in and you want to buy a kilo of Colombian and we just sold out, we can quite happily say, sit down, have a coffee, read the paper, and in 15 minutes you'll walk out with a kilo of freshly roasted Colombian.
And that is from the coffee roaster at 380 Botany Road, Alexandria. And it's boss Dave Fitzsimmons. Thank you so much for telling us so much information about coffee, and thank you for joining me on Monday Drive today.
Alan, thanks for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Looking for good quality coffee to fuel your mornings and excite your taste buds? Want to level up your daily coffee experience with energizing and delightful options? At the Coffee Roaster, you can get all of this and more. Stop by at the Coffee Roaster at 380 Botany Road, Alexandria, for delicious coffee and food and a chance to see the Fresh Air Coffee Roaster in action. Or shop from a variety of single origin and blended coffee beans online at coffee.com.au. The Coffee Roaster, proud East Side sponsor.
You have been listening to Eastside Radio Podcast. For selections of more enjoyable content like this, visit our website, eastsidefm.org, and click on Podcast.